Oh, that's right. Staying alive, staying alive. That's what we're doing at this very special time. And I'm Ann Eller here this afternoon. We are WCRS, caring about our community. And today, my very special guest, Rosemary Bell from over there at United Ministries. How you doing today, Rosemary?
I'm great, Ann. Thank you. How are you?
Oh, well, I'm doing well. Trying to survive. And trying to help everybody else, because
yes,
it takes a community.
That's right.
To do this. And that's one of the things that I think that we are blessed with in Greenwood.
Yes.
Is to have a good community.
Yes, we are. We have a lot of caring people and a lot of great nonprofits as well.
Yes. And, you know, I was talking to Jason Hughes from the Salvation Army, and that was one of the things that he said. There are so many good nonprofits, mm-hmm. and they all fit in together and work together.
Yes.
You know, a lot of communities don't have this type of
working
together.
That's right. That's right. We are very blessed. We've been blessed for years. I've worked in the community for 30 years, and it has just been awesome to see how people come together and partner and try to work for the better good.
Absolutely. So how are things over there at United Ministries? What are you doing? What are you able to handle? Give us a little update.
Okay. The United Ministry is open. Our crisis ministry is running on regular hours, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, 9 to 11:30 in the morning. And although the load on the crisis ministry has lightened a bit, we are opening up our emergency food pantry to any of our senior citizens 70 and older who need canned goods. We have canned goods available. So I'm quick to say we're not the food bank. The food bank does a whole lot better job than us with food, but we do have a small pantry.
Well, and, you know, one of the things that I've heard is some of the donations that are coming in from the big trucks and everything, they're coming in with less.
That's right. That's
so
it. If they're coming in,
yes.
You know, if they're coming in. So, everybody's feeling the impact of this this virus. Our medical clinic is the other side, and we normally have 4 days of operation. We are at two right now with a provider. We do have our provider there 2 days a week. We're doing a little telehealth on the other day with our other provider. Our pharmacy, however, is running on full schedule, because what we're finding is people have to have their diabetes, their blood pressure meds, they have to have them, and their supplies. And we want to make sure, as long as we can be open, we want to make sure our patients get that, because they'll stay out of the ER if they're, you know, if they've got their medications.
Now, that brings me to a question. How are you dealing with your clients as far as seeing them in person, masks? I mean, how are you dealing with people?
We do have a hand sanitizing station in the foyer in the front of the building, and everyone that comes in has to at least do hand sanitizing. And what we do as far as fevers, we don't allow them in the building. So we have a sign.
Are you checking fevers before they come in?
What we're doing, most of them know when they have a fever. We have a sign on the front and the back door, and we tell them, if you suspect you have a fever, call our main number. So they call us, and they tell us, and we go to the front door with a mask to give them. We bring them in, put them in an isolation room where the provider sees them. Then their vitals are taken. Everything's taken, and we talk to them. And the provider will call the self-regional number to be screened for COVID-19 if the provider feels that that's necessary. We've only had one that was a possibility. So that's kind
that's
of
huge.
Our practice.
Yeah,
it is big. And, you know, we don't know if it was positive or negative, but we weren't taking any chances because there were some symptoms there. And everybody knows the pollen is so crazy. We have sinus problems and everything else going on.
Yeah, we all think we have it because
right,
we're just so pollen
right,
up here.
Everybody comes in going, I'm sick. I'm not sure if I have COVID-19 or not. And so we're like, well, we're going to find that out for you. We're going to, you know, do our usual vitals and stuff and kind of see where they are. We have seen a strep throat. That's been the worst thing that we've seen so far in the last couple of weeks. But that is the practice. And then our providers, we're all wearing masks and everything. If we're around the patients or if there's more than one or two people, we're wearing masks.
Well, that's good. How about on people just picking up their drugs?
Yeah. They sanitize those hands, and we actually have started asking them also to call the main number. and not just all congregate in the, you know, waiting room, which we have moved the chairs around so that they are social distancing. But we're asking them to call the main number and let us know they're in the parking lot. And we're going, getting the door open, telling them to sanitize, come in, and then we'll go ahead and start working on their meds for them. So we've got a lot of practices. You can't be too safe, really, at this time. And it's kind of a joke in our office when somebody coughs, one of the nurses will run in and go, I need to take your temperature.
Well,
and it's
I know,
a joke, but it's not a joke because we're, or is it sinus? Is it, what are you, why are you coughing?
Right.
You know, it's
choking.
Probably.
Can you tell the difference? I'm choking over here. A Heimlich maneuver would be
right,
helpful.
Right. And you know, a lot of us are choking because of the Lysol and the Clorox and the hand sanitizer and all the things that we're doing in the lobbies, and everything's getting wiped down and disinfected 3 and 4 times. And all the exam rooms, of course, are getting disinfected, and we're walking around coughing, wondering what we're doing to our lungs with all these chemicals.
Well, that's true. That's
you know,
true, yeah.
So, but we're doing our best.
Yes, exactly. So I guess one of the big things that is, I will use the word, quote, hurting, is the fact that your United Ministry has so many senior volunteers.
Yes, we really do. And you know, we just had our 25th anniversary in February, and we were doing our volunteer appreciation and our 25th anniversary, and had all the EDs and the medical directors and the volunteers. We had 150 people there. It was amazing. And we have 40 active volunteers that help our ministry either with crisis or medical, and we have had to call every one of them and tell them, you need to stay. I mean, even if they're 50s, 40, you know, we're telling them, just stay home. And we've got paid staff working to cover everything. So all of us are getting cross-trained. If we weren't cross-trained before, we're cross-trained now.
This is a good time to train on things, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And it's crazy because I was a trainer in my other life, a fitness trainer and
right.
group instructor. And so now I'm getting to go in and do blood pressures and oxygens and height, weight. And so I'm going back into my trainer mode. So, it, you know, it's kind of cool to bring up some of those old skills if we don't have a nurse.
Right.
And I can do some of that, you know, to help the physicians out. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
Yeah.
So, but I bet a lot of your volunteers are not happy with you.
No, we've got, I mean, I have a couple specifically that, you know, they message me every day. How are things going? How are y'all doing?
Can you manage without us?
Can I just come up and sit? Can I come up and sit? And it's like, no traffic in the building. That is unnecessary. That's what our medical director has said. And
you
I
know,
said,
but that is part of the problem with
it
this,
is.
Isn't it?
It's the social thing.
And
you
we
know.
Don't, and where can you go? There is no place you can
nope.
go. Even going out to,
nope.
for me, going out to eat in the
yeah.
evening is
oh, yeah.
what I like to do to see people.
Right, right. And that's the way I am, too. And, you know, we've told them, if you'd like to come park in the parking lot and just look at the building and feel like you're home, you know, you can do that. But and I'm certainly not making light of it because
no.
some of our seniors are alone. They're living
right.
alone, and we're their family. This
sure.
is their family. They're able to give and be servants, and they're not allowed to be servants now. And you know, I've told him, I said, you know, if you can go to the store and you can get some canned goods for the pantry, that kind of thing, bring it up and just call us and we'll come to the door and get it, put it by the back door and we'll get it. So you know, but it's tough. It's really tough on them.
It is tough. It's tough on everybody.
It is.
And you know, you kind of I kind of worry about the long-term effects of what is happening
so do
with
I,
our
am.
Community.
So
yeah.
do I. You know, it's like there's so many things to think about because, and I'm not saying technology is bad, but we're so social. We're all about social media and we don't do a lot of face-to-face. Well, now we can't. And so are we going to go into a world of total technology? And it scares the fire out of me because I'm a hugger. If you know me, I'm a huggy, touchy-feely kind of person.
Well, I think
so
there's
it's
been
killing
a post
me.
On social media about that. You're in withdrawal then, aren't you?
I am. I actually told somebody the other day that I'm in church, worship team, and hugging withdrawal. So, you know, it's tough on us social people that thrive on that. You know, I have my family, thank goodness, but you know, they're like I said,
they're
all
tired of getting hugged by you.
They are, you know, they're like, oh, here she come, why are you here again? Because you're the ones that can hug me. I don't have to bump elbows with you.
Right. And, you know, I saw a post on Facebook about somebody who looks forward to church every Sunday.
Yeah.
For the social aspect.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I worry about the fact our church is going to say, well, this is working good. We don't have to have the church.
Again, that's another thing that has crossed our minds is that, you know, a lot of people are looking for ways to have church. A lot of people are talking about pulling their car. In fact, our church was pulling your cars in the parking lot and putting all the windows down and letting him preach and us just wave and talk to each other because we're missing each other. But it's, again, so virtual now. Everything's so virtual that it's very scary to think that we may not even want to go back to. It's very easy to say, I want to sleep late this Sunday and not go in.
And go in your pajamas and sit in front of a virtual sermon.
Exactly,
yes.
Which is what I did this past Sunday. I sat and listened to my pastor. You know, I didn't have to put makeup on, do my hair, take a shower.
So how'd that work for you? You like to do that futuristically?
Not really. I'm really a clean freak, so it didn't work too well for me. Or my husband. He kept looking at me like, man, you need to go do something with that hair.
But, you know, this type of thing could become, you know, like I'm wondering, I know a lot of us are trying to support all the restaurants out there.
Yes, yes.
But with as many people that have been buying as much groceries out there, are people going to decide to learn to cook?
Yeah, that was something we were laughing at the ministry the other day because my husband and I also eat out a lot because there's just the two of us. And I've been cooking for the past week. And one of my daughters, every time she calls, she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, cooking. She goes, what are you doing turning into Betty Crocker, Mom? And I said, you know, when you were little, remember when I used to cook every night?
Right.
Oh, yeah, you did. But a part of me says, okay, should we be getting the takeout from the restaurants right now while they're open?
Exactly.
And then when they close, we go to that food that we hopefully we haven't hoarded and stockpiled, but we do have enough like us cereal to carry us through.
I'm making cereal tonight, dear.
We're going to do some different things with cereal at my house.
You know, IHOP tried those cereal pancakes for a while. I never thought that was a very good idea, but anyways.
I don't think so either, but you know, you wonder, are you doing the right thing? Should I be doing more takeout and saving the food? We don't know what's coming. Are we going toward a lockdown? Are we? And you hear people panicking every day.
They just locked down Myrtle Beach. Nobody in hotels, no amusement parks, the golf courses.
Yeah.
They are locking that down through April 30th.
And you talk about community impact, financial impact.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness. And that's what's so scary with all of it, I think. And it's that uncertainty. And another thing we were talking about at work was the depression in the 20s, 100 years ago.
Right.
And was it the Spanish something? The
Spanish flu.
Yes. Yep. And it's very scary to think about that. We were talking about the parallels of that today. And are we ready for that? We're so used to having what we want and doing what we want. And
well, the first few days this happened, the grocery stores, I went to the grocery store and I'd come back and I'd say, Jeff, you're not going to believe it. There is no meat in the things. And he'd go, yeah. You show him the pictures and he'd go,
sure.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But until you walked into that grocery store and saw it for yourself,
it's
you couldn't
crazy.
Believe it.
It's, right? I'm still chasing hamburger meat. So if anybody knows of any hamburger meat, call me. I'm still wanting to make spaghetti sauce.
I actually saw some at Food Lion yesterday.
It's probably gone today.
Because
I've been at Food Lion like 5 times this week, going in the morning and the afternoon and the evening just to see, you know, one time I can get some cheese and the next time I got a loaf of bread. And, you know, then I tell everybody at work, hey, guys, they got bread down there. So somebody runs down and who wants bread? And so get a loaf of bread for everybody.
Yeah.
And but it's crazy. But, you know, my daughter said, my youngest daughter, she said, wow, she said, you know, I'm waiting for zombies to show up. It's just really crazy and very eerie how
Lidl has hamburger.
Lidl.
Yes, okay.
I might be getting there on the way home.
Yep, go buy Lidl.
I sure will.
See, people are listening out
yes,
there.
Yes, they are. That's awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you so much. That's awesome.
All right. Well, we are here with Rosemary Bell, and she just has found out that hamburger is at Lidl. Somebody, if you're on your way there, do not take it all. Leave a pack.
Please, one. Just one pack. I just need a pound.
No, but seriously, this is, these are, you know, it's good that we can laugh about it because we have to.
Yes.
But,
Milo has hamburger.
Oh, we got another call.
That's
Milo
awesome.
Has hamburger.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate that.
Limit 2 packs.
Limit 2 packs. Okay. Wonderful. Okay. All That's right. great. So, That's really great.
You have no excuse not to be able to make spaghetti now.
Yep. They're going to be happy this weekend when I cook my lasagna.
All right. That's right. So, anyways, so what other things are issues for United Ministries right now?
As far as our food pantry, because we're, like I said, we're hitting 70-year-olds and older. We're good on canned goods, you know, your canned vegetables and stuff, because the churches are still supporting us. You know, they're still, we were being supported through the Lenten services during Lent right now, and there were only two, I believe, or three that we held, and one of the churches sent a check yesterday, and they were like, you know what? We know that you depended on this money, and so we're going to go ahead and do this. And it was just awesome. And the churches are bringing food. They're bringing, you know, 3 and 4 bags of food to put in the pantry. We're always low on canned meats.
That's a tough one.
And also dried beans right now.
Dried beans,
pintos,
and, you know, and I'm
black-eyed
amazed
peas.
That those are gone in the grocery store.
Because I was going to get some and take them to work yesterday. There
okay, who
nothing.
Knows where the dried beans
okay,
are.
Okay, callers, call in. I need to know.
229-7984, give us a call if you know where the dried beans are. We're looking.
Yes, or better yet, buy some, drop them by the back door of the ministry. We will definitely make sure that they get into the hands of our patients and our clients. And a lot of our patients that are coming in, the two Rotary clubs just did Rotary Has Heart a couple weeks ago, and there were some extra single fruit cups and fruit drinks and that kind of thing for children, and so they donated them to us yesterday, and we put them out in the lobby, and our patients have their kids home, and we had a whole table full of stuff yesterday, and it's pretty much wiped out now. So people are needing, and then they're telling people, and it's like, if you need it, come up. If you got kids, come up. Beanie weenies, mac and cheese, you know, it's here, the little singles. If the kids happen to be home by themselves and parents happen to be working. So, but yeah, dried beans and canned meat, you know, that's just
two things.
That's definitely right. Something.
Well, if you can help out United Ministries. Now, where is United Ministries for those that don't know?
We are located at 1404 Edgefield Street. We are directly across from the front.
Cornacre has dried beans.
Awesome. I'm loving this. This is fantastic. I feel like I'm on a fundraising show.
That's right. We
this
are
is
right
awesome.
Here. This is what it's all about.
It's fantastic.
Caring for our community.
Our community's right. Awesome. Yeah. But we are located directly across from the front lawn of Self Regional Healthcare, right in the same parking lot, basically, as the Self Memorial Credit Union, right. And across from the ice. Everybody always says, "Are y'all near that ice machine?" It's on our front door.
That's right.
So we're right on that corner there, and most people know us by the free clinic, but that is where the crisis ministry and the free clinic. That's where everything is.
Right. So, and the days that you're actually open. And now, what does somebody need to do to qualify for medication, since that's the big thing you're doing right now?
That's a great question. Anybody in the community, and it's open, right? And we're really open. The clinic is open for Greenwood, McCormick, and Saluda counties. We just opened up to McCormick and Saluda counties because those counties don't have free medical clinics. So Abbeville, Lawrence, they do. Edgefield doesn't. We haven't gotten there yet. But we've offered services to these three counties. And it is for anyone in these counties who is uninsured, who cannot afford health insurance, but yet they don't qualify for Medicaid or Medicare. So they have nothing. They have absolutely no health care. And they end up using the local emergency department for their primary care. So we want to try to cut down on that to keep that non-emergent stuff out of the emergency room and get them to come in. Now, right now, I will say we aren't taking many new patients, trying to keep everything at bay. But we had one today that was in very dire need. And so they're interviewing that person this evening and going ahead and getting them into the provider on Monday. And will start with their medications.
Now, you also do dental.
I was getting ready to say, yeah, we have a great minds,
there
Ann.
You go.
We have a dental program, but it's very small. The dentist, we used to have about 10 participating dentists, and we have about 3 or 4 now, which has cut down considerably.
Absolutely.
On the people that we can see. Where we could take 7 or 8 a week to get them in, we're down to 3 now. And right now, the dental offices last week told us cut it off because they just can't do it right now. So it has really put a burden on a lot of people. And what they do is they come through our clinic as a patient, and then we provide their medical care. And we have to make sure their blood pressure's under control, they don't have any infections, that we need to get antibiotics started before they can even be put in with the dentist.
Most of that, I think, is usually if they need a tooth pull.
Yes,
is that right?
It is. And it's extractions only.
Yep.
And our dentists are awesome. And a lot of them will do fillings and other things if the patient needs it, but it's not guaranteed. The extractions
right.
they can get, but, you know, a lot of times, I mean, our dentists have huge hearts, and they will, if they can, they will provide whatever free care. But like I said, we need more. Let me see if this will work. Okay, if you're a dentist out there and you're not participating with Greater Greenwood United Ministry, please call us.
What's the number?
Our number is 942-0500. So please call and talk with Donna or myself, Rosemary, and see if we can't get you hooked up. If you could see a patient a week, a patient every other week, I mean, it would really open up a lot for our dental program.
You know, it's good to know, because I think probably a lot of dentists don't know that this would
be a
need that y'all have.
And this program's been going since 2001, and many of our dentists have passed. I mean, they've passed on, and, you know, their practices are gone, or they're newer dentists, and then the newer dentist may not know what we're doing. And they're so busy, and I understand our providers, medical providers, everybody is so busy. And I, you know, have them say, oh, I want to take more, or I want to take one, and it's just so hard. And it's like, it's okay. You know, if you ever find that you can do one a month or whatever, that's fantastic.
Well, and if we could get more dentists, for example, involved, it would lessen the burden.
Right.
On the whole
That's
group,
right.
You know,
that's
so,
exactly right.
Yeah, the more dentists that participate in this
yes.
program, the
yes.
less it would actually be. And then, of course, you'd say, no, Ann, we'll find more patients.
Yeah, I'm sure they're out there.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're out there.
Well, you know, I think people don't realize how important teeth health is, and how
oh.
it can, you know, if you've got a infection in a tooth,
mm-hmm.
you can have a heart attack.
Yes, you can.
And die.
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
We actually had a woman when I first started working at the ministry 6 years ago. They introduced her to me, and she almost died. And she had to have a heart cath, and she needed all this heart procedure, and she had to have 5 teeth pulled. And so she came in, didn't have insurance, nothing. Started with the ministry. We got her in with a provider, started taking care of her diabetes and all these other things, and then got her extractions done, had her heart cath, and she actually is exercising today. She's doing wonderful. She's still a patient, and she comes in and always tells us, gosh, thank God for the clinic, because I don't think I'd have been here if it wouldn't have been for the dentists that were able to take those teeth out.
Well, yeah, I think we don't realize the connection
nope.
between
no.
your heart
right.
and your teeth,
right.
you know,
that's
and
right.
life.
You don't
yeah.
think about it. You don't think about it.
So dental care is a big issue, and you sure could use some more dentists.
Yes, and you know, the community, unfortunately, our community is in dire need for dental care for the underserved. It's just, and like I said, we take our patients are the ones that our dentist will take, and that leaves a whole lot of other people out there that just, they can't get it, and that makes us very sad. You know, we look at the glass half full, but you also look at that glass that's half empty, that you're not able to help some of those people that need that help.
That's right. So if you are a dentist out there or work for a dentist, maybe you can talk to him and
mm-hmm.
or her
yes.
and see if there could
us.
Be some, or can call. And that number again?
It is 942-0500. And we'll be happy to come visit once everything's, the dust settles, and sit and talk about the program and how it works and see if it's something that your office would like to be involved in.
You know, anytime that anybody can do something for somebody else, it always comes back 5 times over.
Goodness gracious, yes. Yeah. You know, we were blessed today. We get free medicines and medical supplies from 2 different companies. And every week we get to choose from a laundry list of things that they have available. They allowed one case of N95 masks that the hospital has been pleading for, Dr. Logan has been pleading for. And we actually got a box today of 250. And they came in, and I thought I was seeing things in the hallway. I was like, what? And Donna said, oh, yeah, I ordered those the other day and thought we would help out. And so we kept what we needed for the clinic. And it was Christmas over at the hospital today. We went over with that big box of masks and gave it to the security guard to take up to Dr. Logan. And it was like gold. You thought we were delivering gold to them. And I got in the car and I looked at Donna and I said, man, not only do I feel like Santa, but what a beautiful thing that feels. It just felt good to be able to provide our healthcare workers with more protection.
Absolutely.
Especially those guys, because they are really on the front lines over
there.
They
are. And, you know, we think about it. What happens if they get sick?
That's right.
If they get sick?
They're very, very vulnerable, that population. So.
And isn't it great? Isn't it great how many masks are being made?
Yes.
I mean, people volunteering and making masks.
Oh, yes. We're getting them. One of the ladies at my church has made 15. And if you saw us on Facebook this week, you saw our staff standing there with our beautiful, colorful masks this week, showing that we are practicing what we preach about, you know, trying to keep yourself healthy.
That's true. So, anyways, this is just so neat. We haven't sat down in a couple of years.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It has been a while. Mm-hmm. You always do. Are you doing the planning this summer for music ministry?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We're praying that we're going to be able to have that happen. And this will be our sixth one. In 5 years, we've raised over $120,000. Last year was $32,000. It has just blown us away. And, you know, with that event, it is the fundraising, it is the fund that the funds that come, but the diversity and our community churches coming together the way they do to put on this concert, cultures, races, denominations, it's across the board. And people that came last year, it was so cool how people were coming up going, is this what I've been missing for 5 years? Is this what I've been missing for 4 years? Yes, this is it. It's just such a great, great way for the community to come together. And maybe once this settles, people are really going to come out this year because it is such a great event.
It is a great event. And, you know, if you don't know what the music ministry is, you have like every 15 minutes, different groups getting up. Isn't that right?
This year, we're going to actually have a featured Christian group coming to end the concert.
Wow.
But we're going to have about 10 of our local churches again, worship teams, choir, solos, gospel, all realms of music coming and doing the first hour and a half. And then the featured group will finish up. And hopefully we're going to have a big silent auction. We're hoping it's always big. So we're hoping it's going to be big. And still barbecue and baked beans and slaw and lots of good desserts.
Yes.
And it's at Northside again. So we're so thankful to have Northside as a partner church.
And hopefully when is that going to be? What month is it?
It's Saturday, August the 22nd from 5 until 7:30.
Surely we should be out of this by then.
And I hope so. I sure hope so.
That's right. So, you know, I'm just doing this because I thought it would be a good way for people in the community to reach out and understand what's happening and how it's affecting different nonprofits and everything.
Right.
You are listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood, South Carolina. Rosemary, is there anything else you'd like the people to know or anything you could use some help with that we'd like to put out there? Your telephone number is first.
Yes. 942-0500 is our main number. And, you know, prayer and beans.
Prayer and beans. I've never heard that one before.
Dried beans and canned meat. And, like I said, lots of prayer because we're just skeleton crew and we're all just trying to do our due diligence to keep our ministry open because we just feel like from home we can't do what we normally do. We just can't do it. And even though we can have a little telehealth, it's still not like reaching across the table to
and
somebody.
I'm sure a lot of your clientele wouldn't like to do that.
No. No, they love the face to face. They love because we pray with them. They love prayer. They love the love that they get. People that come in know they're loved and cared for. Nobody judges them. Nobody, you know, they're treated just
they're
like everybody else.
They're probably missing the hugs though, Rosemary.
Yeah, they probably are because I am. I know I am. That's for sure. I'm having major withdrawal.
Well, United Ministry is such a big force in our community. All the churches, so many of the churches do support.
Yes.
And I know it's going to be, going forth, I know it's going to be difficult because one of the things, without having people in church, donations, even though I know people are making donations. Yes.
And jobs. I mean, when people are losing their jobs, they've got to pay their rent. They've got to pay their utilities. They got to put food on the table that's available. And I think that is a message that I want to get out too, is that, you know, we've been blessed. We're always blessed. But when this is over and the rent evictions start coming and the utility disconnections start coming again, they're going to be big bills. And we want to be able to have the donations to help with those big bills that we've always been able to help with. And so, you know, we're hoping that the donations continue to come. Our churches, 65 churches strong, they continue. They just continue on. And even the small churches, whatever they can do, they're doing. And we're so blessed. And I thank y'all so much. But just continue to think about us on the back end of everything when the dust does settle.
And be safe out there.
Absolutely. Stay healthy.
Stay healthy. Be safe. Well, Rosemary, Abel, I am so glad you were able to make time for us this afternoon.
Me too. I love it. I love coming. Thank y'all for the ground beef ideas and the beans.
And the beans.
Yes, thank you so much.
If you'd like to go out and buy some beans out there at Corn Acre, please do it and drop them on by.
Thank you so much.
If you bought a hoarded amount and decided you're not going to use them so much.
There you go.
That you have a place to
donate.
We
can certainly use them at the ministry for our clients and patients.
That's right. Hey, that's going to do it for us.